The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now, The Weekend Podcast, it's Pete, Steve and Paddy's still in a cell somewhere. We don't know, undisclosed. Do we know where he is?
He's got parole next week, I think.
Yeah, right. Because Paddy likes to walk around in a bare top the lot, even in the winter, apparently. And he's got an old lady next door to him who's Paddy, put your chest away. And he just stands there, flexing his muscles, saying, you like it, Gladys? Yes. Hey, talking about Gladys.
Right.
It's Wales, England. What the heck was that?
What
Steve's
was
allergic.
That?
Steve's allergic to Gladys, for the sounds of it.
Sorry, for some reason I get hay fever the wrong time of the year. I can't stop sneezing, so this might be a thing.
It sounds like you swallowed
the wrong time of the day.
Yeah, while we're doing a podcast. It sounds like you swallowed a chaffinch or a sparrow or something.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. So, Wales, England.
Doesn't have quite the same feel when it's going to be an empty stadium and stuff, does it? But.
It's going to be interesting, though, because you know, England's got something to prove. They're going to prove they can play rugby.
I love it.
They came into the championship, didn't they? Heads held high, watch out, here we come. Make way for the champions. And all of a sudden, they lost against Scotland the first game. And then Italy was struggling the first half, pretty much. What is going on with England? And Wales come in, written off completely. By, you know, I hadn't even figured. You know, Wales and any of their sort of outcomes, are they really? And they do quite well now. What, beat Ireland, beat Scotland?
14 men. Yep.
That's the rules, Pete. You break the rules. You pay the consequences, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But anyway. No, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be closer than I would have thought. So I'd say England by 30 points.
Well, the thing is, I wouldn't. I wouldn't like to be Wales now because I say, you know, England are injured animal here, and they're going to be dangerous. They're not going to sit down. They're going to really put 110% into this.
They're going to
try their best to turn it Wales over, at least save some face here. Because and of course for Wales, triple crown. So it's both of them. It's a big thing here. It's a big game. It's happening today and Saturday, 16:45. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, our boys. So it's been a bit volatile the week in the markets, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been terrible.
I know.
I think it's been okay because that's what I was going to say. Was I've noticed having a diverse portfolio does help because some of my stocks have definitely helped support others that have not been doing so well.
Yeah, it has been a bit. I've lost a bit. You know, paper loss has come down a little bit, but I'm not so worried. I'm not so worried about it. I know people are a bit bearish. In fact, on the chat group there for the Sharepickers Investment Club, got to get that in. A couple of people are a bit worried, maybe selling. In my mind, right, I was thinking, and we were talking about Paul Hill yesterday. The central banks here, right, you know, are fully in this. They're fully loaded, locked and loaded. They've put loads of money into this. They can't afford the economy to get worse. And they will continue to pour money into it because how do the governments earn their money? Through tax receipts. If no one's earning any money in profit and there's no tax coming in or a lack of tax, so they have to boost that. So essentially, they are invested in the economy. They've taken a stake in the economy and it needs to work out. And everyone wants the economy to go in the right direction, don't they? I mean, let's be honest, all businesses, you know, want their businesses to improve. All investors do. All the banks do. So everyone's pushing against, you know, in the same direction or pulling in the same direction. Okay, there'll be bumps in the road, but I do believe we'll come out of this. And do you know what? There are people who've lost jobs. Of course, there'll be a lot of people who've lost jobs and suffering, but there's a lot of people as well who managed to save money because they haven't spent it. They haven't spent on holidays. They haven't been out. They've been on furlough, so they're not really spending a huge amount of money. So there is pent-up demand ready to go for the domestic economy, I think, you know, as in leisure, hospitality, and all that stuff. Even holiday bookings, another bit further down the line, because our vaccination program is going gangbusters. You've seen now, yesterday, close to 20 million, which is almost a third of the population, but 1,117 patients were admitted yesterday, for the 22nd of February, that was, so it's a few days back. And that is at October levels. That's like 4 months ago we're at that level. So we're over the peak, and it's kicking in, the vaccines.
Yeah,
I just think. We need a correction to healthy, I think, you know. How many times have we had corrections now or sell-offs recently, and you get a bit worried about it, and then all of a sudden, a couple of months on the line, your portfolio is at a new high, and you don't worry about it too much. You know, we tend to worry a lot more, don't we? When it's about things that are happening.
Well, you were worrying the other day when I was saying that my portfolio was almost hitting an all-time high pretty much every single day 1 week, and you're like, that's not good. And now it's pretty much like, it's probably about where it should be, shouldn't it? Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at we've had one of the worst sell-offs ever. You know, that we'd experienced that. And we shouldn't worry too much. We've been through some really bad sell-offs. And that one in March was the fastest ever. So it's not going to get as bad as that now, because that was out of the blue. When that lockdown was happening, people got worried. And it was unknown how bad the virus was. That March, we didn't know it then. I remember stepping out of the house during the first lockdown and not knowing how dangerous or, you know, what a killer the virus was. I didn't realise that, but then, we didn't know then, it wasn't, didn't really affect people. It was quite healthy. But I was thinking, God, it's a poisonous, you know, really fatal virus out there. It's quite deadly. And so that unknown was really a bit worrying. But now we know all about it. If you're below 70, you're all right, pretty much. If you're healthy, you're fine. Is it a cold, you know, flu, whatever? If you're above that level, above that age, it can take you down. But
When does a correction, or how do we classify a correction? Because it's
10%.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I haven't monitored it enough. How many corrections have we had in the last year? I don't know. There have been drops, haven't there? There have been little drops, and then
So
I don't know how many of them have been corrections.
Yeah. So they say a correction happens pretty much, I think, once every, I've read 16 months, some say 12 months. Yeah. So you're going to get one, and that's why I talked basically yesterday. Did a video on Share Pickers Investment Club, their learning video, 10 lessons. And one of them is about price, getting the right price. And one of them is scaling in. There's always a chance of scaling. There's always a little sell-offs in the market, you know. So when you think the share price is going to the moon sometimes, it never does. It always has a pullback, you know. The whole market will have a pullback sooner or later. So that's just, you know, it's always an opportunity to get in. And I wouldn't worry too much about that. But yeah, it's going to happen. Pullbacks happen all the time, you know. There's quite a few 5% pullbacks happen. I was looking for the stats actually yesterday, and I couldn't find them because they officially monitor the 10% corrections and obviously the 20% crashes that are called. Yep. But they don't mention the 5% drops, which happen quite often. And I think
I suppose that's what I'm talking about. It's the little drops. The mini corrections. But as we've said before, so many of our stocks that we're in and that the small cap sort of arena are not immune to it, but are on their own trajectory depending on
they can be news driven. Absolutely. I know that's why, do you know what people say, small cap stocks, they're very volatile, aren't they? But do you know what big stocks are as well? I've held banks and stuff that has crashed, and the BT, for example. Steve, how much are you down on BT?
50% yesterday,
Well done, Steve. There we are. Round of applause for that. 50% yesterday.
That's horrendous for a blue chip, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, that's volatile, isn't it? So I'm looking at my portfolio. It is about diversification. If I look through mine, I've got, like, you know, leisure, so leisure tech, escape under Brand Shield, which is, cyber tech, on the market, portal, property, Ilica, so the EVs, Polarian, which is a med tech, Trackwise, again, manufacturing, but it's in the EV space, and Gfinity is eSports. And there's another one as well, which I'm not going to mention, because, of course, it's just exclusive for members only. But I'm happy with that as well. But, yeah, I mean, you can get diversified enough for this. Did you see that? I don't know if you watched the video, but diversification, right, helps with risk, but it also protects you against profits, you know, if you diversify too much. And that's what, you shouldn't go chasing the next shiny thing all the time. So I don't know what it is as humans. Maybe it's back to the caveman times when we had to go gathering and, you know, hunting and gathering, you know, just get as much stuff as you could for the cave before the sun went down. But it's a temptation to want to find the new next shiny thing. If you look within your portfolio sometimes, it's there. You know, the thing you need is going to transform your portfolio. It's there. If you get too many stocks, you're going to blunten that potential.
Yeah. Trick is to always then have some cash in reserve to take advantage of the opportunities, isn't it?
Yes, I haven't got. I mean, there's a couple of dips in it. In fact, I don't know if I would have taken advantage of it. Like, Gfin sold off yesterday, Gfinity, right?
Yeah.
And it's annoying because it's gone below a bit of a support. But in fact, it hasn't, because I looked at the chart and it bounces around. And I just think there must be some days here where there's a lot of warrant holders, you know, people who have warrants in there and at the last fundraise. And they can cash those in any time, pretty much. And so they're obviously in the money massively. I mean, what was the fundraise? I think it was at, was it like 2.5p?
Two pence? Yeah.
Maybe even less than that, I don't know. But no, in fact, was it a penny? No.
Well, then, no, the original one, yeah, it was, wasn't it? What?
So there's a lot of people there, you know, in the money there, who will be cashing these in all the time. There's always that drip fee. I mean, on one side, it's good for the company because the company earned money out of it. But on the other side, they're probably a seller if they're selling. But there's a big chunk, there's a massive holder that's got a load of warrants. I don't think we'll cash in because he's just sitting held to Infinity forever. In fact, it's funny, these guys, right? Guys like John Story, weren't known, not that known unless you read TR1s. And they're wealthy guys and they're on big chunks of lots of stocks. And you don't know one. There's another guy. I've even got his name. If you look at the major holders of Gfinity, he's one of them. He's done well on a big game. Do you remember EDOS? No, is it EDOS? One of those games? No, Tomb Raider, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
He was involved in that. And he holds, I think it's, but literally, you can't find a picture of him on the internet. He's that sort of, he's a Microsoft thing. Anyway, he did his gaming stuff, and he sold.
Why were you looking for a picture? Well, for your scrapbook,
just find out who he was.
For your poster for your wall in your bedroom.
Yeah, all the TR1 holders, I've got pictures of posters around my wall of John.
John's story.
Yeah. No, but I couldn't find a picture of this guy anywhere. I thought, who is he? And you realise, there's some big holders up there who never put their... Oh, Charles Street International Holdings, right? They own 22% of Gfinity. And you think, who is it? You just do a bit of research on it. You think, God, that guy is he's unknown, pretty much. But he owns a big chunk.
Charles Street.
Yeah, well, no, his name's not Charles Street. No, that's the thing. I don't know where that's come from, Charles Street. International.
Maybe where the office is. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe that's
right. Yeah, absolutely. No, there are some big holders. And speaking of big buys, like C4XD this week. I don't know if you're keeping an eye on that, guys. But
No, never have.
Wow, it's an interesting one.
So Clive did some, he actually did some publicity, didn't he, on telly the other day, Clive?
Yes, because I don't know if you know, he's chairman of the Vaccine Task Force.
I didn't know that. When was that announced?
Yeah, it was, they kept it on the lowdown, really, but have I mentioned it here before? I can't remember.
No.
Oh, right, basically, yeah, he's been made the chairman of that now, so he has been getting a bit more exposure. So, which can only be a good thing for C4XD, surely.
He's getting trumped by that lady. That lady was there before. Yeah. She's like, imagine that. It must be annoying, you know. Someone like her, she, what was her name? She gave up the chair of the committee, and now she's getting more publicity than he is. Hang on a sec, it's my turn in the chair. What are you doing?
As I've said before, she works in PR, so I'll expect that. But, C4XD had a spate of really big buys going in this week. And there was a couple of £1 million buys going on.
Well,
who knows
sold.
What's going on there? But I'm waiting for the TR1 to come out and it'll be, Justin, wait.
Oh. No, but Octopus sold, didn't they? Octopus Investment. Yeah. They're only allowed to have 8 investments.
Right. One for every tentacle.
Yeah. That's how they work it. That's quite a good thing to do. I got 8 stocks. You don't need much more than that. If you want more than that, get a fund. Yeah. Rather than get in a room, say, get a fund. Because I see people on the chat.
Steve's starting a fund called Centipede. He's got 100 stocks.
Well, I can't see any TR. Oh, let me see a TR1s here. Who
there hasn't been one.
Lombard.
That was earlier in the...
Yeah, 25th,
was that this week?
No, that was in fact, that was a month ago. 25th of January.
Yeah, that was this week, yeah.
We used to call this guy in school Lombard, and it stood for lots of money but a real dick. That's what we said. Lots of money but a real dick. And, oh, Lombard.
Well, that's the real thinking that's gone into that.
I know. I didn't come up with that, but it's quite good, yeah. And what was the other one? Fub. Fat useless. There's a teacher called Fub. Fat useless. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, we got it. But anyway, just talking about big holders, big buy. It does give you a certain confidence when you are a a smaller investor, shall we say. You know, some people are... I know it's all relative.
Well, no, but hang on a second.
They
yeah,
might
but,
be worth tens of millions.
Yeah, but hang on a second. You know, when you're a big... No, the trouble is sometimes, though, funds can be a blessing and a curse, you know, because once they start selling out... Once they start selling out, it's a nightmare because, oh, God. And, you know, it's nothing... Honestly, 99.99% of the time... the fund is selling out due to internal reasons, change of management, change of strategy, or the market cap has gone below a certain level. So it's got nothing to do with the business. The business can be improving, but they don't care. Yep. They're all about 100 holdings, you know? So they don't care too much. So it's not like they're a private investor.
They've still pressed the buy button, haven't they? You know, they've still invested. That's my thing. It gives you a little...
Steve, stop sniffing!
Yeah. Steve.
Sorry.
This is a highly professional podcast listened to by over three people.
By three fund managers. Octopus, Lombard.
Lombard. anyway, some good news there. That's one of those stocks that this week had a real dip, and then, because there was, as you say, Octopus was clearing out, but then has risen strongly on a large number of buys. So anyway, it was nice to see. And going back to your thing, yes, absolutely. Having people like John Story investing again, that gives you that kind of confidence, isn't it? Like they're putting some fairly serious wedge into these companies, so they must be seeing the potential we're hopefully also seeing.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't know what you're doing now, Steve. Are you messing around with Velcro? What's going on there?
I have to say, last week on the webinar thing, we didn't have any of this because Steve was on camera, so it was just frozen to the spot.
Yeah, exactly. Sitting there with roll top and it's a misty lens, you know, and it's purple background lighting. What's going on there? Talk about that. By the way, on the discussion channel for the membership for the club, there's obviously an Ask Steve. What's that?
What club is it you're talking about?
Well, just go to sharepickers.com and you can join up there. But okay. There is an Ask Steve channel on the discussion group, and you can ask Steve anything you want. Then Steve will share his knowledge. But I did ask Steve, what's your favourite shower gel? And I've got to say, have you tried Redox peppermint and key lime? It is gorgeous. Honestly, phenomenal. In the shower, I can eat it and lick it. It's
amazing. Really?
Yeah. Well, Steve's gone with
that. Is that one of those shower gels that makes you tingle?
No, it doesn't. I had one of those before, and you didn't realise until you put it in the wrong place, didn't you? In the nether regions. Oh, my God, what's good? That shouldn't be allowed. What's going on there? It's like chili or something in the woolly. But Steve's come back with Ali's own regular shampoo for normal hair. What do you mean normal hair?
Well, because they do different, like dry hair, normal hair, coloured hair.
Offensive. Avoid for coloured hair, though. But is it, what's the definition of normal hair? It's, you know,
my hair.
Lego hair.
Is that Ken Dodd normal hair? Yeah, but minimum selling off on all stocks. Don't worry about it. That's the markets. That's why people say, oh, stock market's risky, isn't it? Yeah, it's very risky. Oh, I wouldn't invest in the stock market. No, because it's very risky. Is it? Yes. Where's your pension invested? In the stock market.
Yeah. Do you have any control over that? No.
No whatsoever. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I set the club. Like I said, most people will work all their lives, give their money over to a financial advisor, you know, rabbit fingers, and they will invest in a fund that you can invest in yourself, and they will charge you for listening, pressing the buy button when you can press the buy button yourself, and you can, and you won't, and that little bit of return he gets from that, you know, chips off the top there. Compound interest is massive over years. Adds up to a lot. You can do it yourself. So I want to create sort of an environment there. I'm getting there. Still pre-launch. I'm populated. Once I get there, I'll know. You know, it's going to be a good place, I think. But there's some good discussions now. I'm not a big fan, and I'm trying to say, you know, keep it nice on the discussion group. And it is very nice. People trying to help each other, and that's what it's all about. And genuinely, there's a lot of information in there. And I'm genuinely not a fan of like bulletin boards, all that nonsense. This is this is different, you know.
It's split because you started on Telegram, didn't you? That did not work out because that was a bit chaotic.
It was one channel going nuts. And this is
split up into individual companies.
I've got information things. I got So I just added it. Have you watched any of my videos? My 10 lessons videos yet, boys?
Are they the old videos?
No.
New interview.
Oh, I didn't know you'd done new ones.
Yeah, the brand new ones, yes. God, thanks for checking those out.
Well, I saw them. I just presume they're the old ones that we've seen already.
No, they're updated. They're with about, I did those 2 years ago. Now I've had two years, you know, more knowledge into these videos. You know, so
I didn't know that. Yeah. I saw them, but I thought you were reposting stuff that your library, as it were.
Well, Steve, you're on the weekly Wednesday webinar. I talked about the hype cycle, right? And I talked about this two. You know, when you talk about value generation, that's why stocks rise. There's two bits of value generation where small cap stocks, pretty much, where you can make money. And generally, the first one is hope, hype, potential. Well, that's where the stock price shoots up like crazy, but it's not sustainable. But if you get in early there, you can do very, very well. And I pretty much did that with, you know, EVRH and Vesarion, and maybe a bit of Asia Met, really, where you got in early, you know?
Yeah.
But then, when it's getting to the top of that cycle there, the FOMO is at the height, because everyone's shouting about it. And everyone, whoa, we're multi-bagging on this, multi-bagging. And that's when generally the private investors, you know, are suffering from fear of missing out. And they jump in right at the wrong level. And then all of a sudden, it's like the top of a roller coaster. It goes down, and you get all this kind of people jumping out, the earlier sort of buyers jumping out. But the believers will be staying in there. Believers will say, it doesn't matter. And then the company will release financial reports that will show they're, you know, making... no revenue, pretty much, big losses, but the company is now valued at, say, 100 million market cap plus. The believers say, it doesn't matter, this is the future of this company. You get people selling again, the early buyers, you've got lots of profit. Then you've got a fundraise from the company. Then you've got flippers from the places, from the thing. And then you've got believers, you know, saying, no, traders, you scum, just trading the stock. And then they get to the bottom. And at that point, you start seeing the believers criticizing the management and some of them jumping out and leaving it. And then the management maybe... there'll be a bit of a turnaround, they'll focus more on revenue generation, and then you get the value generation part of the rise, and that'll last for years, but it's a lot slower, not as aggressive. But that's when you should be, you know, either get in there or pre the hope, hype, potential, you know, ramp up. If you get the top, just, you know, two parts you can buy, and I talk about that value generation, two different types of value. In fact, one's not value generation, one's just price appreciation, and that's when it goes nuts from the start, like maybe an IPO, or maybe it's a restructure a new company, or, you know, whatever. If you get it early there, you can make good money very quickly. Now, if you've got a small pot of money, that's what you should be hunting for, that kind of area. But that's a bit more trading, that, because sooner or later it will drop. The pop will happen and it will drop. And you've got to get out before that drop happens, because that rise generally isn't sustainable. But that's why now I'm over the other side of the heap, the pop. I'm looking at value generation, where stocks have a line of sight to cash generation. And so that rise, even though it's a bit more gentle, because, of course, generating cash is a bit harder and growing that cash a bit harder, but it will be sustainable. So that's why you should watch that video. That's video number three, called Value Generation. That's why stocks rise.
You know, and that's in the club.
That's in the club, man. It's under the section of learning there. And I'm filling that section up. It's under the section of learning, and you see 10 lessons. I just posted lesson number four. There, right there, yeah, and it's good, because when you research stuff, you learn stuff yourself, you know. And I've learned about stuff, just risk and reward. And I talk about, you know, why investing isn't like gambling, and because with gambling it's odds against. And investing, if you know what to look for, and I give you five things you should avoid that makes investing gambling. But if you know what to look for, you can get the odds on your favor, and so it's odds on. That's the way it should be. Investing should be, you know, 50% chance of winning or above. Shouldn't be below that. If it's below that, you're gambling. And I do say, like, oil and gas, for example, wildcat drills, they are gambling. They are, like, literally the best odds you can get there, 3-1. More like 10-1. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You should be
able to. The way I think of it, like, gambling is like instant loss of money. Investing is a long-term loss of money. No.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
No, but I see people genuinely putting lots of money in wildcat drills. And the only thing, do you understand the kind of the chance of success on that is very, very, very low. You are literally, would you put all your money on a horse? You know, one horse? You wouldn't. You'd put, like, maybe.
We have done.
But you don't put all your money on a horse, do you? You don't put, like, you know. You put
pulls the rug from under you.
You put a couple of quid on it. You don't put a couple of quid on it, do you? Because you know pretty much you're going to lose. You know, so, you know, you're hoping you win, but you think, to be honest, you think the odds are stacked against you as such. You know, with a company, you're not, you know, racing against other companies, and there's only one winner. You know,
those days out in Cheltenham were fun. they were a good laugh.
We drink so much. The trouble is, we drink so much, I feel depressed for like 5 days afterwards. It's like the alcohol drags you down for days afterwards, isn't it? Because we are drinking for over 12 hours, pretty much, aren't we?
Yeah.
So and that, and then you, when you realise it, you think my blood must be 90% alcohol. And, to get out of your system takes days, and so yeah.
But the day I won the place pot was fun, wasn't it?
Yes. Did you win it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, do you know what? I hate gambling. I genuinely hate it. I hate losing.
That's the special return, though.
Yeah. But no, that's why I said, let's do thousands of place spots. That's it. Because I want to spread the risk, you know? And I don't want to lose. And with those place spots, we won, what is it? Was it six of us? We won like 620 quid or something. No, we won about 120 quid each, didn't we?
Yeah, 720 quid between six of us. Because that was the agreement. Everyone does a place spot, and then if anyone wins it, it's shared. So it was for a 2 quid stake. We won 720 quid. Mm. That's not a bad
one. The 1 year I didn't go to
that's
college.
Right.
He wasn't there.
Unlucky Steve. Steve backed the horse, everyone backs other horses, right? So, which one are you backing, Steve? All right, avoid that one. Yeah, so, as I saw that, was it the 1 year Steve didn't go, we did win 120 quid each, which is nice, and plus a couple of other wins, but. Yeah, no, but I hate the thing. That's the thing. Gavin used to say, gambling, investing is gambling. I said, no, I hate gambling. I hate going there and losing money. I hate it. And but I love investing. Because I tend to make money with investing and I lose money with gambling. Simple as that. And I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about losing. You know, I don't know who that horse is. I don't know who they're running against. I mean, the horse could be, you know, jacked up on steroids. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. The going's firm, soft. I don't care about that. I was a manager of a bookies for a while. And I say, no one wins. These guys, know. It's amazing
the
how
the house wins, doesn't it?
But yeah, it's amazing how often you know, regulars will talk about the winners, but completely ignore or fail to talk about the losers. You know, they always
that's the same as stocks and shares with a lot of people. Isn't it? Let's be honest.
These guys.
Well, you know, I think we're quite open.
Oh, we're open. I'm not talking about us. Oh yeah, I'll happily talk about my losses, but. Other people don't tend to.
No, I used to go, guys, regular guys, you know, come into that. And literally, if they're a winner, right, they'll talk to the guy next to them and say, yeah, listen, I saw that. It's, you know, they mention the trainer, they mention it, because I thought that on that going. It's, you know, hands down winner, you know? And they'll brag how much they knew, the research they did. Do you know what, mate? You failed to mention the six other losers you've had today, but you're literally just talking about the lot. And it was very sad to see guys come in. You know, I mean, this lovely guy's come in, he's a security guard. I don't know how you're spending that much money in it. And I thought, he must be absolutely skinned and his missus and all that. And it's awful, you know? And so there was an addictive nature to it. And I can't get addicted to that. Why do people get addicted to that kind of pain of losing money? I don't understand that. Do you?
Well, no, but it's the hope of winning, isn't it? That's what you're addicted to.
Yeah, maybe it is, the hope. It's the thrill of it.
That masks the pain. Yeah,
I used to, there used to be two guys next door. Used to own a restaurant, Greek restaurant. They had one in the town and one day there as well. And they were earning good cash, right? Yeah. They used to run in the start of the day, and these dogs were their thing. They used to run in the start of the day, they used to whack 200 quid on, don't care about the trap. Trap five, 200 quid, run in, run, literally the bells, and you're going, 200 quid, trap five, five. And they do that every spare minute they had, they run out. By the end of the day, they're running in, putting 50 pence down.
Yeah.
And I know, it's sad though, isn't it? They would have a good business if they if they didn't do that. It's sad that they run in with looking for scraping some coins together. They start off with 200 quid. So that's really sad. And, my first video was basically talking about why investing isn't gambling. It doesn't have to be. You can avoid certain things. There's certain things you look forward to. Sway the odds in your favour. And, check it out, guys.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do.
I'm surprised. Thanks for looking at that. No, I thought they were old. Steve, anyway. Well, now you know,
There's something like viewing. I watch it before Ant and Dec tonight.
Before Ant and Dec,
there we go.
Steve's got his evening sorted out already, look.
Yeah, a little snapshot into Steve's life.
Right, you're going to
watch
Six Nations.
Watch the rugby, Steve? Yeah, exactly. Watch the rugby.
Look at Steve's thinking that. See, look at that. Excellent tonight. Six Nations, Ant and Dec straight after. What are they doing now, Steve? Ant and Dec?
Do you know what? It's actually a weird scenario because they've now just got a big LED screen at the back of the studio, which is they've got like hundreds of people of the audience on there, like on Zoom or whatever. And they've adopted the same technology that sports matches are using. So they've got the like the cheering from like, so when they're making jokes, they've obviously got like canned laughter and things like that.
Yeah.
And it just sounds weird. It doesn't sound right at all. I think you get away with it in the sports stuff. It sounds quite good, but they're not for live TV comedy shows and
By the way, I've seen the budget is out next week, okay?
Yes.
And there's a couple of things happening there which should be good for I know you could argue, but
on the market.
Yeah, they extend the stamp duty holiday apparently by 3 months, and I know people are saying we don't need, you know, extension of stamp duty. We need to accumulate tax, and it's not for that really. A lot of people did apply for that stamp duty, you know, and moving because of the backlog, the build up, and so busy. They couldn't get them all, you know, processed in time for the end of this holiday. So for the end of stamp duty holiday, so they're going to extend it to get those people through. It's not. I'm sure some people will be encouraged to buy a new house just because of that, save 15 grand. But it's the majority. It's just to accommodate the people who've already applied. You know, so because and also, do you see that they're going to be doing? Where was it? A new low mortgage, low deposit mortgages.
A low deposit, yeah.
5% deposit mortgages, which will help stimulate the economy, and that should get it going there. But I'm going to do a video this weekend.
Good news for Lloyds.
Yes. Is it really? I suppose
so. Well, the largest mortgage lender in the country, yeah.
Well, Paul Hill is a big fan of Lloyds, and he holds Lloyds, and he's a deep diving spreadsheet guy. He's all about the figures, you know.
oh, just like me.
Yeah. And you've held that, haven't you, since that's my original moneymaker, that was, that I put everything into Lloyds during the financial crash, pretty much, and I made money back.
Yeah, I've taken profit and stuff, but I still hold there. Yeah.
I said to him, though, I said, listen, there's going to be more business casualties coming out of this as well, because generally, after any recession, the businesses suffer after. And also this, because what happened is, there are going to be businesses who... You know, they've been supported by the furlough scheme. They haven't paid so much money. They've had loans and all that stuff. And then when they have to start again now, they have to start paying out of their own pocket. That's going to be a problem for them, isn't it? If there's no demand there and they've got to start employing people again and paying, they may go through. So I said, isn't there a worry that banks will have quite a few, you know, bad credit issues for a while here? And he didn't seem to think that was a problem. the fact that he's a shareholder, I think.
But equally, surely there's... A whole, like you were saying earlier, pent up demand, so other businesses will come out flying out of this. So, who knows? It's a complicated picture, isn't it? But
saying that, the chart's looking all right. They seem to have hit the bottom and they're climbing up a little bit now. And I said, if they break 45 pence on the chart, where they've been in a 40 pence, they've been in a range of 35, 40. If they break that, it seems like they're off the races, but there we are. I think on the market, video, because I think it's amazing that 22% revenue growth in this COVID year when they've given discounts to estate agents. And if you look at Rightmove has dropped revenue by 18% and their pre-tax profit has dropped by 30-odd%. And they, on the same scheme, they were offered discounts as well. So you can see the small one is growing and Rightmove is not now. But yet it's Rightmove is 77 times the valuation of on the market, you know. And if you look at the stats, even the leads they provide to estate agents, it's not a huge difference. And so if on the market can do pretty much 20% revenue growth per year over the next 5 years, which they've done it easily the last couple of years, and one of those was a pandemic year. If they can do that, they'll be an eight bagger, pretty much. If you look at, not even if you, on the market, Rightmove is valued at 24 times its revenue, right? If you even just put on the market on 10 times revenue, it'll be an eight bagger by 2025 if they do 20% revenue growth over the next 5 years. And that seems quite achievable because a lot of their agents are on discounted loans, discounted sort of fees. Even if they convert those, they'll have a massive rise. They'll double their revenue next year. That'll be 100% growth in revenue, pretty much. So I think it's an easy win, really. But it'll take a while.
It's just patience, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not very liquid. It's not very liquid, and even small amount of sellers tend to knock the price a little bit. Yeah, but it's forming a nice sort of plateau here. So it's risen from the April March sell off last year. It was down at 20. God, that was a tiny buy. 25 pence. Any stock you bought then was, you know, you double triple your money if you'd bought in that big sell off dash for cash back in March.
Yeah.
You double triple your money, even the big stocks. But so it went down to 25 pence then. But it's valued, of course, with quid. So, but it's consolidating nicely. I think it may need a month or two to stay at this level, but I think it will bow up then. It'll start to move upwards. And I've seen this in charts before. When people start to lose a bit of patience when it's going sideways for a while, and all of a sudden, I've jumped out at times like that, jumped out, and then all of a sudden start to really smoothly grow, take off. It's like a plane on a runway. It's down there. People get aboard before the end of the runway. Obviously, it's a long runway. It takes a long time to get there. a normal plane. Maybe this analogy isn't very good. If you imagine a runway that lasts for 3 months.
Keep going with it. Keep going.
Yeah. You imagine you're on holidays. You booked a week on holidays, and you get on the plane, right. And the plane goes to take you off, and the runway lasts for 3 months. You know, so you're going to say, "Excuse me, I have to go. I've only booked a week. I've only booked a week off." Still, this pilot says, "Hang on, we're going to take off now. Hang on. No, I'm going to get off. Listen, my boss is going nuts."
Yeah.
So you get off, and the plane takes off. Then you go, "Oh, I could have gone there."
And you've lost your job because
yeah.
So you're really knackered.
Yeah. There's a couple of holes in that scenario. Maybe say the runway wasn't 3 months. Maybe it was a week. Or I've only booked a week. But you know, I've done that before where I've gone out of stocks and been gone sideways.
Sorry.
One of the lessons is actually next lesson probably coming up is when to sell, and when not to sell is impatience. If everything is going right. Don't get impatient. I've done that.
That's
going
to be a hard one for you to write, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got.
Do you want some help with that?
I've done the same. You know, impatience has cost me plenty of bucks on things like Powerhouse Energy, Argo Blockchain, Open Orphan. Those three stocks there. Wow, I lost out on those. So, I was in early. I did the research, sitting there, tapping my foot. What's going on here then? Pilot, are we taking off? Yeah, in a bit. Come on then. Oh, I've got to go, fella. Sorry. And
in the case of Argo, that plane turns into a rocket ship.
Yeah. We're going to the moon, literally.
And you go, "Oh, what?" And you're all sat on that bloody runway looking at it, going, there it is. Look at that.
In fact, there's been a sell-off in Bitcoin the last couple of days.
Yeah,
I'm starting to look into it. I've reactivated my Coinbase account, but not Bitcoin. I'm looking for a small market cap crypto that I think is nailed in there. It's good for the future. I think even Ethereum is probably a better play, but even that's too big, really. But it's fallen off a little bit. It's nice. But Henry, my nephew, has banked his profit in Ethereum. We got a bit scared out there because he bought in at $800. It went up to $2,000, and now it's just come back to $1,400. So, a bit of a sell-off. It's funny. It's Elon Musk, pretty much. He's always saying, you know, he said Tesla was overvalued. Of course, that's his company. And then it took a bit of a dip, but then it went back up again. And then he said, "I think Bitcoin's a bit high here, actually." He's been rambling it for like a week. I think, does this guy know he's one of the richest guys in the world, has millions of followers, and he's quite influential? It's like, you know, he just tweets.
He fully knows what he's doing, don't you?
Yeah, I know. But it's like, it's nuts, isn't it? He must be laughing his head off. Look at this now. He said, "I'll just go on Twitter, buy Dogecoin. Buy the Doge." And Dogecoin just got nuts, like, for, you know, like 50%. And he's it's a bit overvalued now. Everyone sells.
He comes down, he buys some more, he goes, "No, actually, it's quite good value now." It goes back up again.
It's nuts, isn't it? And it doesn't matter. It's small change to him anyway. He doesn't care. He doesn't have to get
it. Shooting fish in a barrel for him.
Not only does he not have to work in again in his lifetime, but he doesn't have to work again in his kids' lifetimes.
Yeah.
You know, his kids don't work. I mean, if they do it right.
He doesn't have to work in their lifetimes, no.
No.
But they're not a fan of his cars.
Because of the indicators. Okay.
Steve,
they do look like cheap cars, though. I'm sorry.
I know, I don't think they do. I think we used to. They look a bit. I know what you mean.
They look like a Ford Mondeo, some of them. And, like, I guarantee you, if you got someone to do, like, a Photoshop on, like, someone who doesn't know about cars and removed a Tesla badge and put it on, like a fancy Ford something and showed it to someone, I bet you people would choose the Ford with the Tesla badge on it just because it's got a Tesla badge. And that says a lot, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, I know. But it does say a lot, Steve, because that's the branding. It's like, if I had a Rolex watch, say it's Rolex, you know, you'd say, "Wow," you know, wouldn't you? If it's a Swatch, but it was a Rolex.
Or Casio.
Yeah, I wonder if he did that. But do you know what? If you had a Casio that came out and Rolex released it, it would still be expensive because Rolex, you know? It was like, wow, they've gone retro. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, so,
I knew someone who's recently put in an order, or had a recent put in order for a, I'm not really good at the models, I think it's the model S, maybe.
I think
S that was coming or something. Yeah. But now they've kiboshed. They're not making right-hand drive versions of that because they're making a new model. And so, you're not going to get your car now. You'll get the new model, but that won't be until November or March next year. And it's like, wow, okay. I mean, the arrogance of that is quite incredible, how to treat prospective customers. But
apparently, I met a guy at the school gates a while back, a father, and he just bought a Tesla. And he said, it's amazing. You just basically, you buy it through the website.
Yeah.
You get a delivery date, and you've got on the Southampton docks, So we're close to Hampton. And yeah. the guy in the sort of in a little mobile sort of.
Okay, this doesn't sound legit. I don't think this is the actual Tesla buying
place. No, obviously, it's Port Southampton. It's very busy. That's where everyone comes in, you know. So,
and they've got to go just behind the shed and give this guy
Yeah, it's like, you have to Tesla. Yeah.
And you have to pay in Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's actually Elon Musk. He's there. Oh,
just,
right.
I'm only taking Dogecoin this week. All right. it's dodgy as hell. No, but literally, you go there. It's in one of those mobile cabin, you know, kind of like a security cabin thing. Comes out there, checks you off the list, and then you pick it up and drive from the docks. That's it.
I'm not sure that is, but okay.
They've got very little, sort of bricks and mortar. Anyway, it's just all website stuff, and you pick it up from there. It's like it's like a delivery thing.
And the guy, your number plate, he said, don't put them on yet. Put that on when you get home.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Literally, what number plate do you want? You know, this guy's painting on the. He's painting on it. What number plate is yours? Yeah, hang on a sec. I got that wrong. I thought it said a B rather than a P. Hang on a sec. Let me just rub that a bit. Okay. Yeah, I figure it out, fella. excuse me, mate. It's all McDonald's wrappers in here. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I just went to the takeaway. Let me get those out for you.
Oh, there's a child seat as well.
Yeah.
I told the missus.
I told the missus to take the kid with her. What's she doing? Sorry, fella. Let me get. Come on. How you come? Come on, Bob. Bob's boy. Any other company news there and stuff? Oh, Escape Hunt. Wow, nearly missed that there. Escape Hunt. What? I think it's amazing. Honestly, I genuinely do. I'm fully, fully so confident in Escape Hunt getting to like £150, £2 probably, because they're going to do things we don't know about because they're very full of surprises. I think they'll blow away 50 sites. I think they'll go beyond that. If they're not taken out before that, I think they'll do a lot more than that. I think that's just their...
In what sort of time frame?
Next week.
Right. That's a ramp.
No. No, but listen, they said 20 end of this year, right? And they're already at 18 pretty much. Almost done, and I think they'll do it. There's plenty of distressed businesses out there where they can do some more good deals. They've got the cash. This is the only company, like I said on Twitter, there's only company that's improved financially and operationally, leisure company, during a lockdown. Their cash levels have gone up. Their sites
use that quote quite a lot, by the way.
You can't say the only company.
They are. I know, but
Steve, you've got to
repeat it to people to get it. Like I said, sometimes you can say something 1,000 times, people won't get it. But their owner operated estate has expanded by 89% since lockdown. There's 4 new builds, 1 in progress, 3 acquisitions. They've launched digital products and played homes that's going gangbusters. That's when you pivot like that quickly. In a desperate situation like a pandemic, that gives you a measure of the management. And not only have they just launched this product, it's doing very well, you know, and they can, and it's very expandable. They can double the size of the physical estate within one game. That's phenomenal. I like that, right? They're quite conservative as well. Further progress in the US. Now, I didn't say that was, but I knew. If you look at the interview I did with Richard, he talks about having meetings with US. The end of last week. And so they say further progress in the US here. I think something's going to be revealed there. And cash has gone up to like 4 million. So, name a leisure business. I'll put it down to you. Until you can challenge me on this, name a leisure business that's shut, that's expanded operationally, site-wise, and improved financially. Name one. Name one. Just one.
Coffee Co. in Cardiff.
Coffee Co.
They've done extremely well.
They've been open, Steve.
No, that's the point.
Yeah.
And really? No, that's not the point. The point is, name a company that's been shut down. What has Coffee Co? How many sites have they expanded?
Escape Hunt haven't been shut down. They've been doing online stuff.
I know, exactly. That's because they pivoted. But listen, how many sites have Coffee Co opened up, please?
A couple.
They haven't, have they?
Yeah, they have.
How many? One or two? Did they have? How many did they have originally?
One, three. I think.
One.
Right, 100%. So that's better. No.
So how many have they got? Right. How many have they got now? One more.
About 5 or 6.
No. Are you saying they opened 5 or 6 sites from one during the lockdown?
I don't know the exact numbers, but they seem to have just.
Don't come on here with me challenging it when you have no facts of your own, Stevie. let's get to the thing. I'm going to Google them. What are they called? I'm going to Google this now.
Okay, but and while you do that, Justin, my point to you was
coffee.
You can't say they're the only company, the only leisure company.
I just said it. Coffee, Co, Cardiff.
You can say those words, yes, but they're not. It might not be completely accurate. It was my only point. But I haven't got anything to hand to prove that. So you may be right.
They have three sites, Coffee Co. Okay.
No, they don't.
I'm looking at their company site. It's one,
two,
in,
three,
in Port Tiger,
four, five,
Mimic Key, like, and Cardiff Bayscape. Three.
They got one in Portier.
Portier. Just you're just saying, names now.
This is brilliant content for the podcast. A live argument.
Like Coffee Co. Anyway, what I'm saying is, you're shareholders. Why aren't you backing me up on this? You can't. Hang on. Can you not see that that's what they've achieved is quite. You imagine when lockdown lifts? You imagine after that? What are they going to do then?
I'm not debating that at all.
But you're trying to knock it down and saying, you've got to be proud.
You're just knocking the quotes. That's all I was saying.
You've got to be proud of, or impressed, not proud, but it's me proud as a shareholder, but impressed of what they've done. In a catastrophic financial time, for most businesses, they've actually improved and looks like they've taken advantage. And I don't want to say taken advantage because it seems like taking advantage of other businesses. But what I'm saying is there's a situation presented to them and they've had the cash and resources. So actually, in fact, we can expand here. We can expand and we can do better here. So we've had opportunities now. So you imagine what happens when it opens up now. I mean, they were growing beforehand. And I genuinely believe they will have, one of these rooms. And someone said, actually, on the weekly webinar, isn't it a bit repetitive, the business? Because you do it. There's six games in each site. Now, if you're a family, you don't want to go. Wait, how often are you going to escape room? Once a year, maybe twice, if you're lucky. So that will last you 3 years. And then they'll swap them out anyway. And by the time you go back, you won't have remembered how you did do the original escape room. So there's plenty of variety there. They're modular. They can swap them around. So they'll have, say, 10 different themes, and they can swap them through the whole estate, So there's never going to be a repetitive problem here, So we go bowling, We used to play bowls. It's the same thing apart from the score. Pretty much.
Yeah. So, I don't know about you, Pete, but I'm quite looking forward to trying them out when they're opening.
There we are. See? Yes.
Yes, so am I, Steve. I look forward to us visiting an escape hunt venue to me.
Come on, Pete, you're an investor. Even I agree with that part.
Yeah, exactly. No, good. So check it out. Yes. And the thing is, it's like we were hilarious in there. I get quite stressed actually about it because my sons were shouting out things, Megan was shouting out things. We had these Aladdin things. You press these things, they all different light up at different times. You have to press it in a sequence, It's like these crystals, big crystals you have pushed down in a sequence. And then it would open up something else, or the key to something else would open up. And literally, it was four of us pressing all of them. Stop pressing them! We've got to do them in a sequence! And so I'd start doing them, and then Fred and Monty would join in. Stop doing that! They were laughing. They just wanted to make noises, They just wanted to make the noises of the thing. Stop pressing the crystals! You have to do them in order! And at one point, I actually lay on the floor, stressed out. I actually got them to lay on the floor. I can't handle this. Right.
See how much fun this sounds like, Pete?
Yeah, okay. Was it a lifetime ban you got, or was it?
Yeah, but it's funny.
A bit carried out by security. I'm a shareholder. Yeah. I own some significant part of this business.
Yeah. Did you drop that line at any point when you were in there?
Do you know who I am?
No. But I gotta say, the staff are amazing.
I can imagine Justin going to it with laminated and just kind of like just as he's paying off, so just put it on the desk. Did you know?
Yeah. This might be a significant shareholder. No, but it was good. But I don't want to kind of escape. You know my thoughts on it. I'm quite comfortable. No, normally 7p, 7.5p we bought in. Normally at this level, at 24p, I'd have taken some profit. But not because I see there's a roadmap there for 50 sites, and that's just that side of it. There's franchisees is going well, US and all around the world. They've got franchisees coming up in Australia, America, Middle East, Europe as well. They've got a digital side and they've got a play-at-home game. So I think there's a lot more than, that's going to go on here. And I just think this is one you hold and it could do, build your wealth very nicely. Okay.
I am in agreement and I'm just trying to give a, some sort of form of balance.
Sod balance. Sod balance. People who listen to this podcast know this is not going to be balanced.
Balance.
No, they don't want balance. They want me ramping a stock that they hold.
They want screaming at us about which stock to buy.
Yeah. Again,
do your own research.
Gfinity, right? Listen, when the share price goes down, just get cheaper. Don't worry. I mean, you know, it's 32 million now. That's very cheap for a company that's expanding. Okay, revenues are not going to be massive, but they're growing very quickly. And so a couple of years, you think, wow, this will take off. Yes, you're going to have chop and churn from the warrant holders in sell-offs. That's going to happen. But listen, again, you know, it's getting cheaper. There's some news out from Ilika as well, which I thought was quite good. They're going to, the Styriac's manufacturing update. They're going to be upping their capacity, production capacity by 70 times by 2022. They'll be building it. Second half, it'll be ready. Second half this year, it'll be ready to go. And then commercially, Styriac's is a small solid-state batteries used in med tech devices, like pacemakers, all that. So you whack them in there and you'd have to touch them for years and years and years. You know, they can actually self-charge. It's amazing. Self-charge, no tampering, or they use them in extreme temperatures or monitoring systems where you just leave them there. You know, they're very low maintenance, very efficient. They hold their charge for ages. But so that they'll ramp up that, and then they're going to then go into Goliath, which is the obviously solid-state batteries for cars, which everyone's excited about.
And that's another one where I would have by now normally de-risked or, yeah, and I haven't sold any because I'm just like, well, I think there's more to go here, so I'm not going to de-risk it at this point.
Absolutely. You know, they are a 300 million market cap. This is going to be, this is, have you looked at any of the articles sneaking out? In fact, I tweeted one this week saying solid state is the future. You know, it's the future for, at the moment, the batteries we got, it's not going to be 100% adoption of EV tech until that range anxiety goes away. Sorry, I've just drunk some coffee. That range anxiety goes away. And at the moment, people say, I don't want to buy a thing because I have to charge it for like half an hour or an hour to do 300 miles. I can't do that. So what happens is this. Solid state, you don't need that. You'll be doing pretty much less than a 20-minute charge, less than that, and you can do like over 300 miles in it. It's very safe, and they'll get better as well. That tech will get better. So that's.
I don't think they're spreading the news properly about EV cars because when you go about people saying that you've got to sit for half, even on traditional old batteries, you've got to sit for half hour charging the cars. That's for quite a significant charge. Whereas what actually the facts are, if you go to a high-powered charge station, which most of the probably services stations have got, you can charge for probably about 10 to 15 minutes and get about 100 miles, which, let's be honest, is probably enough just to get you
100 miles.
Home. Yeah, which is probably, you know, well, apart from super long distances, you know, that's 10 minutes for 100 miles. Isn't that bad, really, is it?
No. If you look at the average, if you look at the stats on it, most people, use their car, it may change the pandemic, but most people do not drive for more than half an hour to work or back. You know, the majority of people, it's literally less than an hour's drive, isn't it, to work and back. So, most people don't do 300 miles. It's like you're not going to do anywhere near that. You'll be 60 miles, if that, in a day. So, but the thing is, where do you charge it? I mean, that's another thing that's going to be worth looking at, the charging point, isn't it? Because, how are you going to do that? How's it going to work? Because you can't have people charging overnight in their houses because most people, especially in London or, for example, anywhere, the terraced row of houses, you can't have thousands of cables just going in people's houses. Like that. How does that work? You can't have one stand charging loads of cards. So there's the technology, human innovation will sort that.
But there's smart roads and stuff have been talked about, where they actually charge as you drive and things like this. So
smart people they want, really. That's what
they
need.
Yeah, that's what they need. Yeah. Okay.
And if you thought about years ago when you talk about it, well, actually, no, because that's kind of done. Ignore me. I was going to talk about internets, but actually, that's been done. The older original cables, isn't it?
Internet.
But no, it's different now, isn't it? Different now. No, but listen, I'm thinking Ilika, I genuinely think, could be, over a billion. And that's three times where we are now. And that's when they start. They'll start ramping up production now on Styriac's, and then when they get towards Goliath, then that'll start taking off. You know, and like I said, they're hooked up with some big players like Jaguar Land Rover and all that. And that's always, in fact, I talked about Paul Hill in the podcast. When you get bigger companies hooked up with smaller companies, that says the smaller company's got something, you know, because otherwise they just do it on their own.
And
Ilika have been doing this now for years and years. So they are putting years of research and money into it. And so that's why these companies are hooking up with them. And
Just should have put more in at a pound, but there we go.
Yeah, but it'll be tons of, like, today. It looks back at 215. What was the share price? It's been up to 2. Let's have a look. Ilika.
Yeah, it's 250, didn't it?
270 odd, yeah. But the spike there, but it's good support there at this level. I mean, it'll bow around and go across and be plenty of time, but I mean, you know, it's good. What I didn't understand, why do people say this, right? This is Ilika said this in their report, right? They said, the company's been made aware that some construction materials suppliers are experiencing supply chain delays, particularly from Europe, which the company is managing in order to minimise any impact on overall project implementation, and do not believe this will have any fundamental effect on the expected timings. So why mention it then?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we're going to point out a problem, say it's not a problem. So, yeah, yeah. Well, it's not a problem, don't put it in there then. But yeah, so... yes, but it's all going ahead there. And let's be honest, electric vehicles and escape rooms are the future.
That is going to be you, isn't it? Driving in your Tesla to your escape room.
Yeah, and Polarium took a bit of a dip. It's fine. Don't worry about that. It's fine. All good. Yeah. You know, it's...
A quick mention for resource stocks over here in Resource Stock Corner.
Big up resource stocks, yeah.
Let's hear it, Pete.
We should have a jingle, actually, for that.
We should.
Resource Stock Corner.
Only if someone made jingles.
Stevie, jingles. Two things. United Oil and Gas are on the up. And, you know, I just think, you know, Brian and the team there are just doing what they said they would do. And results are even better than expected. So that's great. Broker Note came out raising the respective sale price.
What was the price tip? Was it like
from 24p up to 28p? Price target. I know, but even if it gets to half that, I'd be happy. So yeah, from like 4.5p where we are now. So no, that's be for a
right. Do you know what? I'm gonna put a broker note. In fact, Justin Waite's note target on escape, and it's now £3. Okay.
Okay. Wow. Put that out there.
No, listen, if you get to 150, if you get to 150, you'd be happy. But it's £3. Definitely. Yeah. It's like if you really ramp it up, it's like you get these online sort of courses and stuff where people say, right, and if this course will cost you £7,000. You think, what? You're kidding. But we can do it for £3,500. You think, okay, I'll go £3,500. Yes, yes. You know, and you think you've got a bargain.
Perceived value, isn't it?
Perceived value. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly right. No, I know, and broken notes are hilarious, but I just thought that was funny. But it's an indication, isn't it? So, it's going.
No, it's going the right direction, though. I mean, it's broken out of range. It's above the 200-day moving average. 200-day moving average is moving upwards, which is a good sign of the trend there. So, yeah, it's looking good,
Asia Met got their place in a way. So, at least we've got a bit of clarity now of the next episode. And I know you boys don't care, but I'm still in there, so...
How many stocks do you hold now, Pete?
10?
You're more than that. You're more than Steve. Steve holds
11.
Steve holds the market. The market.
Yeah, I've got a good 20, I reckon.
Get it down, Steve.
Half of them I can't even sell, though. That's the problem.
Why?
It's because, some of them have gone to NA, not applicable, and I don't know what that means. I can't get rid of them out of my portfolio.
Well, that means they've gone busty.
Well, I know, but why does Harry and Larry deem necessary to keep it in my portfolio, to rub it in my face?
Because they still exist. Until they're struck off, they'll still exist, don't they?
So what Harry and Larry do there, they say, we do your notes, we say NE, if they list again, we'll just we'll sell the shares and say, no, they've gone bust, Steve. Yeah. the news on that stock, Steve, gone bust,
Steve. Yeah, that's like Motive Bio, Steve. They're no longer trading.
I had that with... it does come off after a while, Steve. It takes ages. But I had that with a stock I had. It's called... what's it called? They're a fraud. No, years ago. They were a fraud. Aerostrat. It wasn't Strat. It was a company that sold parts for airplanes, right? And they're doing very well. Like, in fact, too well. Their growth was phenomenal. Turns out they're a bit of a fraud. And so they went bust. And they sat in my account for years. I thought, well, get them out. You look stupid. They're just sitting there. It's a reminder. Maybe it's a good lesson. It's a reminder how stupid I was, you know? I believed the growth figures they were saying. I didn't really do any delving into anything apart from, you know.
Yeah.
So, do
Harry and Harry put NA because it means NAFL? Yeah. That's what it's worth now.
Pretty much, yeah.
So in the value column, NAFL.
Yeah, you call them up after that. Yeah, what it means, Steve, is basically, what it's worth to you, NAFL. But if they read list, we'll just take them off. They'll take the shoes off your hands. You don't want them then. We'll take them off you.
Who I'm just looking now, who have actually got an NA? Oh, utility wise, so I've got an NA.
Oh, well,
are they?
Yeah, Motobio, obviously, we just sort of mentioned. And
there was a period, Steve, where we'd, I took my stock and you'd, you know, saying, and then you'd say, are you not holding those? And then, Steve, what are you talking about? We talk on the podcast, didn't we? We all sold the one stock. And then Steve said, are you, what, you don't hold those anymore? I said, what podcast have you been listening to, if anything? You know, so so in future, Steve, when we say, in fact, those kind of companies is a bit dodgy, weren't they? I mean, you know, utility-wise there, but yeah, I'm motivated by it. That's too high risk. You know, those, I talked about that, actually, another one, a risk. Last thing before we go, the risk, you know. One of the riskiest plays you can do are investing in companies going through clinical trials, because the chance of success from preclinical to commercial is 14%. Now, no, that's tiny, isn't it? It's like, what is that? 1 in 8, 1 in 7 chance, 7 to 1 chance of success? That's a gamble. That's gambling odds. So if you want to get, I mean, if you're super confident, of course, but you never are. Motivio was super, super confident, didn't play out. They failed at the last hurdle. And that's where most lots of stocks fail as well, on the phase three, because it's more people being trialled. There's a bigger chance of failure there. So, yeah. But anyway, there we are. Anything else?
I hope. Tell you what, my neighbour's having a lovely sing song next door.
Is she?
Right.
What's she singing? Put your mic to the thing, Steve.
It must be an instrumental because he's stopped right now. But every now and then I can hear him blasting it out. He's like doing power ballads or something.
Do you know? Do you see that someone before? So there's this person next door who used to. Play there, was it? Play an instrument next door, a certain time, practicing every day, really got on the nerves. So, said, what I do, I bought a set of drums, and just, every time I started, I accompanied them on the drums. And said, and they stopped after a while. I said, right, I'll join in then.
And the house the other side, you know, got brass band.
Marvellous. Right, boys, have a nice weekend. Pete, you know, consolations in advance of the game.
Yeah, absolutely, and same to you, you know. May the best team win.
Yeah, Triple Crown, yes!
We'll see.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.